The Gestalt Gardener podcast is brought to you by Varicosity Vein Center, providing health assessment screenings and compassionate care to improve your vascular functionality and quality of life. Our doctors and vein specialists offer solutions to painful varicose veins, spider veins, and other venous diseases to our patients. Now offering complimentary vein screenings in Jackson, Madison, and Ridgeland. Information and appointment scheduling at varicosityveincenter.com.
Good morning. Good morning. Ain't it a great morning outside? I mean, it's a beautiful morning, and we're going to be talking about gardening, which is perfect. It's just perfect. Hey, I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing, and you've tuned in to the Gestalt Gardener, which is a garden party. It's a party produced by Mississippi Public Broadcasting. My producer is Alva Java Chapman. Jobser Java. We're going to be having fun for the next hour or so. I've got a few of things that are going on, some interesting events you might be interested in. Got a couple of emails that I think are germane to everybody, but mostly it's a call. Oh, and I got a cheesy tune. Oh, really cheesy tune. But mostly it's a call-in program, folks. So for the next hour or so, let's just sit back, grab a cup of coffee, wipe some of the pollen off your eyebrows, and we're going to spend a little bit of time right after this short break learning how we can all get together and get dirty. We'll be right back.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulture's Felder Rushing, and if I sound like I got a husky voice, it's because of the pollen. The oaks in central Mississippi are pretty much finished. You know, they're well done on the Gulf Coast and pretty well finished here in central Mississippi across the Meridian and Vicksburg, maybe up to Carthage. But they're really hitting their stride up in north Mississippi. So, folks, it's headed your way. And I just want to, Java, let me ask you this. Is this a shortstop button? Is that a cough button? If I got a cough, if I push that thing, will it?
Yeah, if you have to cough, you push the button and it mutes your microphone, so okay. You're not, you know, hacking on air.
Okay, so and if I have a nasty word, I just got to say I can push it for that too, right?
No, I handle that back here.
Well, folks, we're going to be talking about gardening for the next little while. If you've got some things that's on your mind, some things you've heard about or want to give a try, or maybe you got second thoughts about it, or maybe it's something I've said and you just want to call me up about it, I'm okay with that. I'm not hard-headed. I'm always willing to learn new stuff, but I'm going to stick with what I know as best I can. Anyway, for the next little while, it's just a garden party. I'm not going to sell you anything. Don't care who you are, what your mama's looking like, or whether you got clothes on or not. This is the only venue that I know of in this part of the country where you don't have to belong to, you don't have to be a joiner. You don't have to, you know, pay dues or come to meetings or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. It's just a place where people who have one thing particular in common, that's gardening, landscaping, lawn care, trees, shrubs, vegetables, herbs, container plants, indoor plants, wildflowers. You know, if you're interested in plants and gardening and growing them and cultivating them and sharing them with other people, then you are part of this party. And you all you got to do is give us a call. It's toll free, 1-877-MPB-RING, and that'll get you on. And we're going to be talking about nothing but gardening, like I say. There are a few things going on right now that I think would be of interest to folks. Events coming on. There's a couple of three this weekend and several starting up next week. And it gets really crazy for April. Let me just throw a few of them out. Let's see if I can find them real quick. I had them here someplace where I just sent them to myself. And there's, for example, I'm going to be in on the Gulf Coast tonight. I'm going to be at the library in Kiln, Mississippi. Kiln, K-I-L-N. It's where Brett Farr is from. At the library, start at 6 o'clock. It's going to be a free program. We're going to be talking about all about gardening, container gardening, and herbs and stuff like that. So hang on. I'm going to see if this button works. Did it work? All right, you couldn't hear that? I'm going to need that. Whew, the pollen is great. Anyway, I'm going to be at the Kiln Library at 6 o'clock this evening. And then in the morning, tomorrow morning, I'm going to be at the library at Bay St. Louis at 10 o'clock. Again, a free program. I'm going to be talking about gardening and chewing the fat and kicking stuff around with you. So if you're interested in that, Kiln and Bay St. Louis, look forward to seeing y'all. This could be a really interesting conference. I wish I could go to it at Crosby Arboretum in Picayune tomorrow morning, March the 30th. Native Plants for the Landscape Seminar. They're going to have one on hummingbirds and butterflies and monarchs and stuff like that in the afternoon. But Crosby Arboretum starting at 10 o'clock, Native Plants for the Landscape. And there's also going to be a really cool plant swap, one of the coolest plant swaps. Now, I went to the oldest plant swap in the known universe yesterday at the Flora Library north of Jackson, a little tiny library in Flora. They have the oldest continuous plant swap twice a year in the known universe, and we had a blast. A lot of fun people. People have never been to one before, old hands, but they're swapping plants and getting things and mostly seeing the kind of stuff that grows well enough for people to want to share it, and they're easy to share with each other. Anyway, this could be the Central Pres, the Central Presbyterian Church there in Mobile in the parking lot. It's a big deal. It's free. If you got a plant, bring one. If you don't, they got plenty. But it's in the parking lot. It starts at 10 o'clock at Central Pres Church in Mobile Saturday morning. It's a lot of fun. Next weekend, those are things that I know of this weekend, library stuff and native plants, seminars, plant swap in Mobile. Next week, I'm going to be at the Max Downtown Meridian. It's going to be we're going to have a big plant swap there. Going to do a little talk about plant swaps and pass along plants, swing by the farmer's market. But that's going to be at the Max, which is right downtown Meridian. It is a wonderful, wonderful new venue. A lot of art and artists and musicians on display there. And then right after that, I'm going to leave and head straight up the road to New Albany. They have a garden festival every year. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to be giving a program there at the fairgrounds in New Albany for their garden fest. So those are some things I've got coming up. There's a few other things that we'll talk about later, but we got more time next week to talk about them too. Meanwhile, this is what we do best, and that's talk about gardening with real folks. We're going to Madison and talking with Avery. Good morning, Avery. How are you?
I'm great. I've got a question. I'm interested in putting out some chestnut trees on my farm, and I'm wondering if there's a variety here in Mississippi, and where could I get them?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if there are different varieties of chestnuts. There probably are, but you know, because we don't grow a lot of them here. I know they grow here, but I don't know. I can't recall any specific varieties that might be better than others. I'll tell you what, though. And by the way, in central Mississippi or in the whole state, the place that specializes in fruits, different kinds of fruits and fruits that do well, is a garden center in Jackson called Hutto's. You know, most garden centers sell, you know, the usual stuff, but Hutto's specializes in a wide variety of different kinds and the right varieties. And if they don't have chestnuts, they can get some for you. But meanwhile, if you can, Avery, if you can shoot me an email, I've got a little handout that I put together, several pages on great fruit plants, and chestnuts are on it. I just need to check and see if it's got variety. If not, I need to do a little research and add some, and I'll send that to you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Felder.
Okay, appreciate it. Good luck. Hey, and if it works out, I want to follow up on it too. Thanks.
Okay.
All righty. Now let's go to Hattiesburg. Hey, Joel. Good morning.
Hey, Felder. How's it going?
So far, so good. I had a blast last Saturday afternoon in Hattiesburg. There was a huge crowd there. We're talking about yard art and stuff. So, anyway,
I had some friends that had some entries there. One of my buddies built some birdhouses.
Well, the birdhouses, yeah, that was
pretty good.
And you know, and it's really weird because so many different kind of people get together for a venue like that. It's not like football or symphony or something. These are really truly scattered type of people getting together, having some fun around birdhouses.
Oh, we're lucky in Hattiesburg. Lots going on this way down here.
Really is. Well, what you got going on?
I just wanted to give you a shout and let you know I'm riding around in my truck with a few sprigs of rosemary on the dashboard just to kind of help freshen things up a bit. And
how much freshening up do they need, Joel?
I tell you what, when you only wash your truck about twice a year, you have to keep it fresh every once in a while.
I understand.
So anyway, you know, if you instead of buying something at the store, pick a sprig of basil or rosemary or something that smells nice, throw it in your car, and there you go.
Yeah, you know, and it's really a good idea because I grow these things in my yard just because I think they're pretty plants, and I grab some, and somebody's going to be riding with me. I like to just take a sprig of rosemary and just, like, beat it on the dashboard just to release those oils, rub it on the seat so people think I smell better.
Yeah, it's very convenient, and you know, if you're in the garden, you just pick a couple of sprigs and nothing to it. Doesn't cost you anything, and there you go.
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to one-up you. I'm really not. But, you know, I drive an old 88 Ford F-150 with stuff planted in the back, including herbs.
Oh, I've seen it.
Well, you know, it's got those little sliding windows in the back of the cab, and all I got to do is slide one of those windows open, and the wind blows it in. Yeah, you know, but unfortunately, it also blows in some of the other plants that smell like dirty socks.
Man, you were...
Just trying to have some fun, you know. Just and if your friends are okay with it, if you're okay, if your ego is intact, you can also get one of those little cup holders like that hangs on your window, a little plastic cup holder, and get you a little mason jar and just keep some fresh cut flowers in there. You know, the worst that can happen is people talk about you, but oh well.
They're gonna do it anyway.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Joel. Hey, that's a good little cheery thing. Thank you so much for sharing. 1-877-MPB ring, folks. We're going to be talking about gardening. I'm horticulturist Phil Rush, and Java's in there looking at me, looking at him, looking at me, and Kevin Farrell's in there greeting everybody on the phone. And he just greeted a lady named Ann from Brandon. Hey, Ann, good morning.
Morning.
Howdy, what's up?
I had a question about tomatoes. Would you recommend starting them from plants or seed? And we were going to either put them in containers or... We may build a raised bed.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. You know, let's take a bit backwards order. A raised bed is a good idea, and it doesn't have to be big, and it doesn't even have to be short up. It could just be an area maybe 3 or 4 feet across, you know, square, rectangular, whatever, make a nice little edge around it, dig the dirt up, and add enough stuff to it to sort of mound it up like a pitcher's mound. And if you want to shore it up around the edges with wood or wine bottles or bricks or whatever you want to make it pretty and easier to take care of. But that's all a raised bed. It's not a pot sitting on top of the ground. It's the dirt that's been dug, shoveled so deep, stuff added so it's partly sunk and partly raised. That way you don't have to water so much in the summertime. So that's the real advantage of a raised bed is you don't have to water as much as a container or something sitting on top of the ground. But to answer your question about the tomatoes, I like to buy mine because I don't plant many. Same thing with peppers. And by the time you buy a package of seeds, you could have gotten a couple of plants. So if you're just going to grow one or two or three or four plants, just pick out some different varieties that you like instead of buying the whole packet of seed and, you know, growing 20 plants of all the same thing. So there's advantages of both. If you're growing a lot, seed is easier. If you're growing a few, you can choose a few different varieties for the cost of a couple of packets of seeds.
Oh, okay. So when do you recommend plants, maybe?
Well, it's still, if you've got a container, you can plant container stuff and even raised bed stuff now because that soil has warmed up. But regular dirt still kind of cold. So I would wait until, you know, another week or two before I started planting stuff in real dirt. A lot of people already got it out there, but their plants a little bit stunted because of that cold. And when we get rain, it's still cold. So typically sometime the first part of April is a good time to plant stuff because the soil has warmed up. And that's important. Hey, let me throw this out, Ann. When you're planting these things, you know, tomatoes need cages or they need to be staking and tied. And if you get the type that's called a bush type, they're called determinate. They sort of determine how big they get. Bush type tomatoes can be put in one of those little cages, and that's all you need to do. But the indeterminate of the vine types, they keep getting bigger, longer, and you got to keep tying them and adding. So, you know, there's two different approaches. If you're not sure about it, I'd start with a little bush type or determinate type of. There's one called Celebrity that's real popular. And that's a good way to sort of get your feet wet with tomatoes, so to speak.
Oh, thanks.
More than everyone knows. And stick a basil plant out there, put your little pepper plant, put your marigold, turn it to a, you don't just plant vegetables, have fun.
Okay.
Good luck on it, Ann. Shoot me an email if you need to.
Wait, so you're saying I should plant basil in there with the tomatoes?
Yeah. You can plant a tomato and if you got a big pot that's big enough for you to barely put your arms around, you can grow a tomato plant and a pepper plant and a basil plant and some kind of little flower.
Okay.
It's a bouquet in a pot. That's the way I do it. Have fun with it, Ann. And by the way, folks, if you do that and something dies, nobody can tell. And we got all sorts of stuff that that's going on right now. A lot of things blooming. The Grancy Graybeard, the American Fringe tree is starting to bloom. The Ajuga is blooming, the little wildflowers. People are starting to mow their grass, and the wildflowers are magically disappearing. A lot of stuff going on right now, and we're just about at the time when I would recommend starting to fertilize the lawn. I haven't done it yet. And there's no hurry on it, but if you're thinking about doing this weekend, might be a pretty good weekend. Not sure. I would not spray weeds, though, because they're too big. The weed killer's not going to work. It can damage your grass while it's greening up right now. So just fertilizer and mow the weeds, the wildflowers. Leave a few for the birds and the bees and the bunny rabbit. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing here on Mississippi Public Broadcasting. We're going to take a really, really quick break and come back and talk with you about gardening.
This is MPB Think Radio.
All right, you know what, though, folks? It is it's time for the Atmos Energy Tip of the Day, which reminds you to call 811 at least 2 days before you dig to have underground and utility lines located and marked. I've done this. It's smart. All right, so, Dale, it's your turn for the tip of the day.
This is for you beginners out there, the ones that don't have a lot of hammer experience, hammer and nail experience, and banging those hands up. What you do, if you're going to nail something, and you have your nails and your hammer, and like I say, you don't want to bang those hands, you can take a straight tooth comb and set that nail there and get it started and slide it back and go ahead and nail the nail without your hands ever even getting banged up.
That's genius. It's absolutely genius. Let me help with the younger folks. Combs are what people used to use to brush or comb their hair.
Yeah. Right. Not the finger combs.
Right. I mean, really, how often do you see them now?
That's true.
But yeah, no, that's a great
idea. I guess
you
can still buy those. Huh?
You can. I've seen them, but that is a fantastic idea, Dale. So a way to save your fingers, you put that nail within the teeth of the comb to hold it to the wall and then go after it with a hammer so you don't lose a thumb.
That's it. Smash, smash.
Smash, smash. There we go. All right, there's your tip of the day.
For more DIY advice, download the MPB Public Media app and listen to Fix It 101 anytime.
All righty, folks, welcome back. Horticulture's Felder Rushing here. And if callers could give me just a minute, I want to share a couple of things that are going on right now. One is that I went to this plant swap in Florida yesterday with my friend Jesse Yancey. He's the gorilla gardener who gardens on a street corner in Jackson. He has the biggest mustard plant I've ever seen. It's taller than me with the flowers. The leaves are wash bucket size. They're huge. It's a little garden. But anyway, and my twin sister daffodil is blooming a little bit early, but lots of buds left for the rest of the month. I got a red amaryllis blooming that I rescued from an abandoned house down the street. It's Spanish bluebells, another great old pass-along plant that spreads and multiplies and doesn't give a toss about the summer or winter weather. Yesterday, I dug some holes ahead of time for planting some cypress trees in palmettos for my son and daughter-in-law. My son is a Army captain. He's deployed. He'll be home in November. So I got some cypress trees he wanted me to plant for him while he's gone, and I went ahead and dug the holes ahead of time yesterday, watered them real good, so next week it'll be nice and creamy. I like to dig holes ahead of time because hard work is done. Would like to give a shout out to Lexington and Hattiesburg and Carrollton. I had a fantastic time at last weekend's Festival of Flowers in Mobile. What a great crowd for both talks. And picked up some plants while there from Own Garden and shared with some friends. On the way back, I gave this talk to the really big crowd in Hattiesburg about yard art and met a couple of wonderful gardeners. I really wanted to say that the big turnout for my talk in Carrollton was a real blessing. Lots of earnest small-town gardeners who won't be talked down to. You can't talk through my hat when I'm around folks from a small town like I was raised in. But I want to give a special shout-out to Estelle Cooper, known by all as Meemaw. She was there, 99 years old, eyes still clear as the sky, lovely smile, soft hands. But Meemaw, Estelle Cooper, appreciate have a chance to chat with you. Next week's newspaper column is about the party girls, the azaleas, and other really showy springtime things. But other than that, there's a few events going on. I'll talk about them in a few minutes. But meanwhile, let's go do what we do best, and that's to talk with folks about gardening. We're going to start out in Brandon. Hey, Mary, thank you for holding. What's up?
Good morning.
Howdy.
I have a question. I'm transplanting some different plants from my mother's yard, iris and things like that.
Uh-huh.
She also has hydrangeas, and I was wondering, could I take cuttings from those and root them? And
Yes, you can. If you've got a little time, the hydrangeas have already started budding out, leafing out. It'd be better to let that growth kind of get a little tough, kind of mature a little bit. In other words, the real tender, floppy stuff right now doesn't root as well, more likely to suck itself dry. So if you could, if you wanted to try to root some of last year's stems, you know, the last foot or so of a branch, break off all the buds of the new growth. They'll put new stuff out, but you know, if it's got real floppy stuff on it, I snip that off. But if you could wait another month or so till this year's growth kind of toughens up a little bit, that roots a whole lot better.
Okay, and then so... how would I root it?
Well, you know, they root in moist potting soil. You know, every hydrangea you see anywhere was grown from a cutting kept in moist potting soil. But and they root from cuttings taken in the winter or the late spring or summer, just not right now. You want pieces. I don't remember if hydrangeas root at the leaf joints like some plants or whether they root up and down the stem like roses and crepe myrtles. But make the cuttings long enough to have at least one leaf joint in the potting soil and one leaf joint out. The one in will root. The one out will sprout out. But two or three leaf joints with one or two in the potting soil.
Okay.
If you need a little bit more, you know, information, I can get a whole lot more detail real quick in an email. Really can.
Okay.
But that's the gist of it. Okay. Appreciate your call. And now let's slide up to Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, Linda, thank you for holding.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, honey.
Well, thank you. Well, I tell you, can you suggest any primers for gardener wannabes? I'm a country girl. I grew up in a little town called Terrell, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been a city girl for the last 30 years. But now, you know, I'm getting ready to retire, and I want to garden. But, things have changed so much. I don't know where to get started.
Yeah. Well, to answer your question, Linda, I can recommend some things, but it hasn't really changed that much. It's still the way it was done 150, 1,000 years ago. You dig a hole, put something in the green side up, you water it, and get started. And the trick is, do you add a little stuff to your dirt and what kind of plants you put in the hole, sun or shade, little things like that. And every gardening book covers all that, sometimes in so much detail, it can frustrate somebody. I'm going to do something that I rarely do. I've been doing this radio program since 1983. I rarely recommend anything that I've written myself because I don't want to come across that way. But I wrote a book called Slow Gardening, and it only has three paragraphs about soil preparation. Because I wrote about stuff like I do it myself. I cut out all the bells and whistles, what horticulture say, and you know. But it's got also about appreciating wildflowers and the importance of garden art. It's little vignette, things that have quality of life, but it's got a good bit of how-to in it.
Well, that's what I'd like. I'm a nurse, and so that appeals to me most definitely.
You know, medical manuals versus the online stuff, which you can't trust, versus something that somebody you know tells you about. That's what slow gardening is. And you can get it cheap on Amazon.com, a used one for like $3. So it's not like I'm making money, but that's a good one to have the overview of gardening for somebody who just wants to relax a little bit.
That is what I want to do.
Yeah. Otherwise, I got to mention this. The Extension Service there in Shelby County has got some great publications that pretty well cover all the stuff you know. And the folks there at the Memphis Botanic Garden have got people who will show you how to do stuff for free.
All right.
See, so that's a good place to go. Meet some of the folks there at the Botanic Garden. Get a couple of publications. When they have a plant sale or something like that, go there and you'll meet some good people who will show you the best way to get started.
Well, I appreciate that so much, and I'll keep listening because I enjoy the show.
Okay, and Lynn, anytime you have questions, anytime at all, I've got dirt under my fingernails. I took a shower this morning and used soap and everything, but just walking in, I got dirty fingernails from digging up some ajuga on the side of the road. It was an old fashioned ground cover that was just growing into cracks. I'm taking it home. So if you want to email me anytime, I'll be glad to give you some pretty straightforward bottom line. How do I do it type of stuff.
I appreciate it so much.
Okay.
God bless.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And you've been a nurse. Bless you. That's a weird job. It's a hard one, too. Our email, by the way, folks, is garden@mpbonline.org. Now let's go to, looks like, Jane in Madison. Hey, Jane, thank you for holding. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Felder. I appreciate you.
Yeah, what's up?
Well, I have three different plants, but the same situation in each one. Okay, the three plants are, first of all, Tithonia.
Yep. Wait. Tithonia. It's not in your yard yet, is it?
No.
Okay,
I have
good.
To do that by seed.
Right.
Okay. Tithonia, Asclepias, but not tuberosa, you know, the common one.
Yeah.
And also papyrus.
Yeah.
Now, all these plants grow very tall.
Yeah.
And my garden is not suited for very tall.
Mm-hmm.
There is no dwarf variety that I know of.
There is a dwarf Tithonia. The Mexican sunflower does come in a dwarf.
I can't find it anywhere. I've looked in all the seed catalogs, you name it.
Well, but even the dwarf is a big one.
Okay.
So right. what can I help you with on these?
All right. What I'd like to do is cut them all back when they get bushy. Will they still bloom? Having a shorter stature.
Well, the Tithonia will, or you can switch over, and it's a great plant, or you can switch over, slightly change your approach, and use, you know, one of the more compact type of zinnias, which has the same butterfly qualities. You know what?
I'm loaded with zinnias, too.
Yeah.
But I really want this Tithonia.
Yeah, well, and it really wants to get big. But you can prune it and, you know, shear it just like you would a marigold plant or a zinnia. You can shear it and they'll put out new growth. Same thing with the Asclepias, the butterfly. Now, is this the one they call tropical milkweed? It's got yellow and red on
it. Yellow and red, right.
See, now you can let that grow up tall and skinny, or you can cut it and bush it out, and you can also root the cuttings. It's easy to root, and it blooms nonstop on new growth, which is really advantage over the other ones. But the papyrus,
right.
You know, that's just every one of those. That's just a long leaf with leaf stalk with leaves at the end. Not really
right.
much way you could cut. There are dwarf papyrus plants. I know that for a fact.
There are, but I went ahead and it's been in the ground for several years.
Yep.
It's a tall one.
Well, but there's no way to cut that. Basically, it just has leaves come up from the ground. So all you basically do is just thin out the leaves you don't like. But it's not a shrub. It will put up new leaves from the ground, but it doesn't bush out where you cut it like the other ones do.
Perfect. Okay. That's my question. Thank you.
Well, thanks.
I'm good to go.
sound like you're loading yourself up with some chores.
That's okay. I love dirty fingernails. I never get a manicure because it wouldn't do one bit of good.
Sweet. Thank you for calling, Jane. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye.
Oh, I've got the worst cough. She was talking about stuff that's making. Hang on. Push this. Ooh, that was great. A matter of fact, we've got a Michael on the line. Michael, ask your question and make it long so I can catch my breath.
Hi, my name's Mike. I have got this huge wisteria in the front of the house. We cut it back, but. The flowers and everything are, you know, growing real nice and pretty. But my problem is bumblebees.
Yeah.
The bumblebees seem to love this stupid plant.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always, I live by the woods and there's always bumblebees around. But right now, there are a ton of bumblebees.
Yeah.
And they're all over this wisteria.
Right.
Now, I don't like just indiscriminately killing things, but, you know, these bumblebees are, you know. Well, they're kind of dangerous. So,
hang on a second. They're first of all, they're really not dangerous. A bumblebee, if you catch it in your hand, it will sting. But if you don't, they're not aggressive at all. They're probably the meekest. They might be scary, but they're not aggressive at all. So, they might bother you a little bit, but they're not going to sting you unless you actually physically try to catch it. I'm real sure of that. But second of all, the wisteria flowers, they only last for a couple of weeks, and then they're gone.
They've been around for Well, yeah, I guess a couple of weeks so far.
Yeah, and you know, so, and the bumblebees move on to other stuff. So now, do you have this on a wooden arbor by any chance?
No.
Okay, because there's a carpenter bee that looks like a bumblebee that digs into the wood. That's a whole different thing. But anyway, these things, they will not sting unless you actually grab one. And it's hard to grab one if you ever try it.
They move pretty quickly.
Yeah, they absolutely, they're worse than cats about ignoring people. So if you try to catch one, you're not going to be able to. And if you accidentally catch one, it'll sting you. So just don't.
Okay.
And meanwhile, just take your glass, squint your eyes when you walk past it and you won't even see them. Seriously,
okay.
But I wouldn't kill them at all. They're among the most beneficial creatures out there. They really are.
Okay. Well, then I won't try to kill them.
Calm down, Michael. It's all right. Hey, listen, I appreciate your call. And don't worry about it. They'll be gone soon enough.
Okay.
You bet.
Okay.
All right. Do we have time to take another call? No, wait, let's do this music. Jerry, if you'll hang on. I came across a cheesy tune by a guy named Tim Wilson, who normally sings kind of bawdy stuff. He's the late Tim Wilson. If you're familiar with him, he's a bawdy comedian. Well, there's your problem. You know, that kind of guy. But he sang a tune about people giving their kids dirt pills because the kids don't spend enough time outside. They don't have dog dew on their shoes. They don't have scrapes and things like that. And they're always sick because they haven't been outdoors enough. So this is the tune by the late, great Tim Wilson called The Dirt Pill. I'm a horticulturist, Felder Rushing. Me and Java and Kevin, we're going to take a little quick break and come back with more of the Gestalt Gardener and your phone calls right after this. If you want to email us, garden@mpbonline.org.
Little Dustin, they've been feeding that youngin' dirt pills, 'cause the earth is about to eat that boy alive. The only thing he ain't allergic to is doctor bills, but the envelopes they mail him in are giving him the hives. Better get that boy immune, and better get him there pretty soon, 'cause he went outside and he almost died, 'cause he ain't no Daniel Boone. That poor little boy could use a little dog dew on the shoes. Better catch a cold, 'cause a six-year-old can't live like Howard Hughes. Little Dustin, they've been feeding that youngin' dirt pills, 'cause his daddy's sick of him always being sick. They done nailed the doors and closed up all the windowsills. Some dirty dope his mama's hoping just might do the trick. Get a little mud on the clothes, start drinking from the hose. Get shorter pants so the fire ants can sting in between the toes. Less videos on the brain, more SpaghettiOs in the veins. Start riding a bike 'cause the boy is starting to look like John McCain. Little Dustin, they've been feeding that youngin' dirt pills. Too often he's been coughing when he breathes. The only friend he's trusting in is Benadryl. When he wallows down on the ground, it only makes him wheeze. Better get that boy to school and quit worrying about the stool. Don't check for worms and all the germs that's swimming in the public pool. The boy better start climbing trees, get bit by the flies and fleas. And if you like, we'll yell the syntax after we hear him out. Little Dustin, they've been feeding that youngin' dirt pills, 'cause every day the boy's been feeling bad. He'll go to the doctor's office more than nurses will.
All righty, folks, welcome back. Horticulture's Felder Rushing. One quick email I got this week. Jimmy Staring says, I've heard that rosemary and peppermint plants repel mosquitoes. If this is true, can peppermint, rosemary, and hanging baskets on the front porch keep the mosquitoes away? And the answer is nope. You got to rub the stuff and get the oil on you. The oil repels up. The oils are sealed up in the leaves until you bruise them or crush them and actually rub it on your skin. They won't kill. They won't repel mosquitoes. They won't. And I know a lot of people are going to – no, ain't nobody going to argue about that, because that's true. That's true. I would like to remind folks I'm going to be at the library in Kiln, K-I-L-N, Mississippi, down near the coast tonight at 6 o'clock. And Saturday morning I'm going to be at the library there at Bay St. Louis. Let me double check. I think it's Bay St. Louis. Yes, Bay St. Louis, 10 o'clock. And then going to be at the Meridian Max next Saturday with a plant swap. And that's going to be a whole lot of fun. Meanwhile, let's go back to the phone calls. I've been neglecting them for a while. Let's talk to Jerry from Ashland. Jerry, appreciate you hanging on for so long. What's up, man?
It's never a problem to wait for you, sir.
Thank you.
About your gardening book, one of my favorite gardening books is by a lady named Ruth Stout.
Oh, yeah. Passed, yeah.
If someone cares to look up her stuff, it's also very good. I have a giant fig tree in my backyard, and I'm not sure when and how to prune it. Sometimes it produces a bounty, and sometimes it produces nothing, so maybe you can give me a clue.
Yeah, it's probably a variety called Brown Turkey, and they're kind of iffy. You know, it's the standard variety, and sometimes they produce, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they have a second crop. But anyway, here's the deal. They produce on what grows this spring if it grows off of what grew last year. So in other words, if you'll follow the stuff from the tip of the branch back to where it started a year ago, what are you doing?
I'm putting up shelves.
Okay.
Well, I'm listening to you, and I'm putting up shelves in my garage.
Yeah, and you're using a hammer instead of a drill? What's the matter with you?
I've got drills. Just tell me about my daggum pigs, will you? I'll do the carpentry, you do the garden.
You are absolutely right. You know, you just made the Hall of Fame on calling me out on that one. Anyway, follow from the tip back to where it started a year ago and leave some of that. You know, you can cut about half of that back. And you can cut whole limbs and trunks back to the ground. And they'll sprout back out, but they won't have figs this year. So what most people do is they'll cut some back close to the ground, let them sprout out this year, and leave some to have figs this year. And the next year, cut the ones they left.
To repeat, the figs grow on this year's growth on top of last year's growth.
That's right.
And just a good thinning, pick one up and pick out a new growth this year and then cut that back a wee bit. And
halfway, a third, something like that. Now, they're already leafed out, but don't let that bother you. You would have cut that stuff off anyway. Most people cut them. I cut mine back in the wintertime. So if they got new growth on them, don't let that bother you. They'll still sprout back out. And if you want to just cut the whole thing down close to the ground and start it all over again and skip this year, that really works too. But, Jerry, what you do is cut it back, and when it sprouts out, it gets about knee-high or so, cut the tips off of that so it bushes out instead of getting tall. And you can have a really cool, thick bush next year you can actually pick.
That's what I'll do. Thank you so much.
Okay. Hey, you going to paint those things when you're done or just put them up and cover them up with stuff? I'm just curious.
They're in the garage, Felton.
Okay. In other words, no.
That's correct.
See you, Jerry. Thanks for calling. Yeah. You do the garden, I'll do the carpeting. Shut up. Answer my question. I love it. That's great. Now, let's see. We need to go to David, who's calling from Horn Lake. Hey, David, good morning.
You doing this morning?
So far, so good. What's up?
My sister has multiple sclerosis, and she can't do any yard work.
Mm-hmm.
She's got some azaleas that have, they're over 20 years old.
Yeah.
They're over 7 feet tall, and they're starting, they're too tall, and they've widened out too far. They're fixing, they're overtaking her brick walkway.
Yeah, yeah.
My question to you is, when is the best time to prune them, and how can I butch them all to heck, or I got to do light pruning?
No. You can cut azaleas, and I've done this myself many times, so it's not some book learning thing here. You can cut them back to a foot, foot and a half, 2 feet tall, trunks as big around as your leg, and they'll sprout back out. It'll take them 4, 5, 6 weeks for the new growth to come out, and she's going to be hollering at you. You know, but if you cut them back really, really hard, when the new growth does come out, it's real important, David, to snip the tips off of it before it gets too tall so it bushes out instead of shooting up over the eaves of the house. See, so if you're going to prune them hard, come back and prune them again light, and don't do any pruning past about the middle of July or so the new growth will have time to set buds for next year. So you can prune them hard pretty much as soon as you get around to it. The sooner the better after they get through blooming. Tip prune the new growth in June, early July, and they'll be nice and compact and full of flowers next year.
Do I need to fertilize them after I
butch? Well, really, that's a good question. But really, you're cutting the top off, but they're still going to have massive roots. So those roots are going to they're going to force that new growth to really jump. So I wouldn't fertilize them this year. They're going to have plenty of stuff. In other words, they're going to have a lot more root and fertilizer than they need this first year.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, and tell your sister we said hey.
Hey, have a good day.
All righty. Okay, let's go to Marama now. Hey, Marama, calling from Purvis?
Yes.
Hey.
Good morning, Felder.
Good morning. What's up?
We have some potato plants.
Yeah.
We already planted, like, I don't know, a month, 2 months ago, and they are about 1 foot tall.
Yeah.
What do we do with them? You mentioned something that we have to cover them?
Yes, you do. You need to get some dirt or some leaves or some pine straw or something and fill them all the way up to the very top of the leaves to where just the very tip tops are showing, because the potatoes grow on the stem, not the roots. And if the stem's green and get sunshine, it won't make potatoes. You got to make them grow the stems in total darkness. So either dirt or compost or potting soil or leaves or bark or something like that, but cover them up with, you know, at least 7 or 8 inches where just the tips of the leaves are sticking out.
All right. Thank you so much, Felger. Have a beautiful summer.
Thank you.
Spring, okay?
I appreciate that. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. All right. Let me see. We've got now Summer from Mobile. Hey, Summer.
Hey.
Howdy. Good morning. What's up?
So I've been wanting to get some wisteria, and I've been doing some research on it, and I've seen that there are two different varieties, one from North America, one from Asia, and I was wondering if you could help me, like, be able to tell the difference so I will know what plant to get the cuttings from.
Yeah, yeah. Let's break it down to three different kinds. There's purple and white, which are both going to be Asian. That's the kind you see all over the place, the purple ones and the white ones. And there's some varieties of them, but in general, if they're sold as wisteria, it's going to be the Asian kind. It comes in either purple or white. But there's a native one called, I can't remember the whole Latin name of it, but the cultivar name is Amethyst Falls. And it is a wonderful plant. It's not vigorous. It's not invasive. It blooms off and on pretty much all summer. Is much tidier plant. But the
that's
one, well, yeah, well, look for the one called Amethyst Falls. And it's a native one. I can't remember the Latin name off the top of my head, but it's a whole lot tidier for most gardens. The purple kind that you see growing along the roadside, it's a good one, but it's a real thug.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I mean, it's not bad. A lot of people say you shouldn't plant it, and I'm thinking they shouldn't stay out of my business. But when it gets along the roadside, it causes problems. In the yard, you can keep it pruned and all like that. If you want to have to grow up and over an arbor or something, you know, really cover it, you know, go with the Asian kind. But if you're just growing something for some flowers that cascade down on small arbor, Amethyst Fall is the way to go.
Okay.
And you might be able to get that at plant sales in the Mobile area, so stay tuned for that. They have some great, great plant sales there.
I'll be looking out.
Okay. Good luck on it, Summer.
Thank you.
All righty. Now, let's slide up to over the coast a little bit, across the state line to Pascagoula. Hey, Brenda, good morning.
Hi. I spoke to you last week regarding planting my dogwood in the swamp.
Right.
I did what you said. The only thing I could not do was get dogwood dirt.
Okay.
So
Got time to do that. Just sometime in the next month or two.
Okay. I did want to give you an update that I amended how it was planted, and I am getting tiny little leaves coming out. So I'm happy that it's not dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems to be doing okay. So I'll wait a while.
How tall is this plant, Brenda?
Oh, let's see. It's probably about 8 to 10 feet. It's been in a huge pot on my patio.
Yeah, that's an awfully big dogwood. The bigger they are, the harder the time they have to survive. So, anyway, if you want a dogwood down the road, you know, get you a little one and put it by the big one. And if they both live, that's great. But smaller ones, you know, knee-high, waist-high, that's about as big a dogwood as I would recommend, because in the best of conditions, dogwoods have about a 50-50 survival rate across the South. And that's according to Southern Living Magazine. So,
okay.
While I was walking the other day, I was walking back after the program, and I slapped myself on the head, and I should have recommended another plant. If the dogwood, for some reason, doesn't make it, there's a plant that grows in the swamps around Pascagoula. That's a native plant. It has beautiful white flowers, and it has fruit. It's called Mayhaw, M-A-Y-H-A-W. Mayhaza.
I've heard of that.
It is a great native plant, beautiful flowers, maybe as showy or more than dogwoods, and it won't grow except in kind of wettish type areas.
Okay. So, one more question. Should I cut my current dogwood back after it hopefully blooms?
It would be better for it if you do. You know, because, again, a big, tall dogwood is iffy at best. You know, I mean, I've been working with dogwoods my whole career. And of all the trees that I get calls about that don't make it, dogwoods top the list. Because they don't have a really strong root system like other trees. A little one does a better chance. Adding some dogwood dirt helps. But, again, if it – and you can cut it back if you want to. It'll sprout back out. But if you get a chance, find a mayhaw.
Okay, well, look, should I I forgot my question on dogwood.
Well, so you said, I had a head-slapping moment last week about your mayhaw, and you're having one now.
Yes, I am.
We're even.
Thank you so much. You're very informative. Okay. I really appreciate that.
Okay,
thank
Brenda.
You.
And anytime you have some more, call back or shoot me an email.
Oh, I will. I'll probably be every Friday calling you.
Well, be nice.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Okay. I still can't get over that Jerry said. Just you do the gardening and shut up, feller. Answer my question. He must not be having a good day, or else he's a real plain-spoken guy like me. But, brother, I appreciate you calling me out. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing. We've got a guy on the road. We're going to be talking about elephant ears in just a second. If you have questions during the week, shoot me an email, garden@mpbonline.org. Hope to see some of y'all at the Kiln Library this Friday today at 6, or the Bay St. Louis Library at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, or at the Max in Meridian with the plant swap a week from tomorrow. We're going to have a lot of, and there's other events going on. We're going to be talking about those next week. So anyway, Horticulture's Felder Rushing, me and Java Chapman, Kevin Farrell, having a little fun, whooping it up. We'll be right back with more of the Gestalt Gardener right after this.
Hi, this is Bill Ellison, host of Grassroots on MPB. Few artists have had greater influence on American folk and acoustic music than guitarist Doc Watson. Doc was part of the 1960s folk revival. He was also a star of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band's early 70s classic Will the Circle Be Unbroken album. And he's in the Bluegrass Music Hall of Fame. Doc is also a frequent guest in the Bluegrass Cabin, so come see us on Grassroots Saturday night at 8 on MPB Think Radio.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. I want to give a shout out to Stephen Flood. He caught me on the way I was walking in this morning. He came running out with a tray full of sunflower seedlings. He got kind of long and leggy while he was working down on the coast. And I told him, put them out in the sunshine. Seedlings need real sunshine. They need real humidity. They need cool temperatures. This is what makes them sturdy and stocky and all, instead of all floppy and leggy. So, anyway, Stephen, shout out to you. And Jerry, if you need to holler at somebody about me giving the wrong advice on gardening, call Fix It 101. They're on here on MPB, and they know a lot more about building and hammering and stuff like that than I ever will. Let's talk to Gavin now. Gavin, you've been holding on. You've been on the road. What's going on?
How are you this morning?
So far, so good. What's up?
That's good. So my grandmother has some rather large elephant ears in the flower bed outside of her front door.
Uh-huh.
And I really want to know how to trim them back without just absolutely massacring them.
Yeah.
And maybe keep them a little smaller than, you know, the size of a grown man.
Yeah. Let me ask this, Gavin. There's two basic, I mean, there's lots of different varieties, but there's two basic kinds of elephant ears. Those that sort of spread a little bit and their leaves point down, and some that make a clump and they get upright and the leaves point upward. You know which one she's got?
I believe these are the ones that point down because, I mean, they're just enormous, and you know, they stay kind of close together.
Yeah, but they're coming out of the ground, not off a little trunk type thing, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's not much you can do except cut them off. I mean, I'm serious about it because, you know, now there are dwarf varieties. If it's a real pain, you know, then you know, you could dig them up and move them someplace, or you know, put one of the smaller varieties there. She really likes elephant ears, the upright kind. I can't remember, alocasia, colocasia. I can't remember. Upright kind stays in, you know, it doesn't flop over onto the sidewalk, and that's the kind that I grow because I ain't got time to do that. So anyway, nothing you can do other than cut off the individual leaves as needed.
Well, that's all right then.
Yeah. By the way, I took a picture of a lady's garden up at the Delta. She spray paints her favorite NASCAR driver numbers on the elephant ears.
That does not surprise me. We're actually headed to the Delta this morning. We're going to Clarksdale.
Yeah, we're going right through there. Tell the folks that shack up in. I said, hey. But no, there's not much you can do except cut off the leaves that are in the way and leave the rest of them, like plucking eyebrows. Tell your mom it's like plucking eyebrows. You can just pull a few of them.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Good luck on it. Appreciate it, Gavin. Hug your mom. Okay, now let's go to Port Gibson. Hey, Collie. Good morning.
Good morning, Felder.
What's up?
I'm calling to ask you about the Japanese rose plant, Caria japonica.
Yeah, great, great little old-fashioned pass-along plant.
Yes. Do you know where I could buy one?
Well, you're in Port Gibson. I'd be real surprised. They're just starting to bloom now. They bloom mm-hmm. during and after azaleas. I'd be real surprised if you didn't ride around town and could see some in somebody's yard, and they will give you a piece because they spread by little short runners.
So you can root it?
Or just dig up a piece of it. Like they say, you know, they spread like a little, you know, they have shoots coming up from the ground with their own roots. And if you uh-huh. find somebody's got one, then, you know, a piece is coming up beside it. Cut it back to about a foot tall and just dig it up, roots and all, and it'll branch out and do great next year.
Okay, but would I be able to get one at a nursery, say, in Jackson?
Probably not. Caria is a great old-fashioned one. And by the way, there are lots of different kinds. There's single ones, there's double ones. There's, you know, it's real popular in English and Pacific mm-hmm. Northwest and other gardens. Here we just have the plain old double. They call it Yellow Rose of Texas, by the way.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it's not a rose, but Yellow Rose of Texas is Caria. But, you know, you can get them online. And mm-hmm. and get some cool varieties, but you know, I don't know of any garden centers that sell them because, quite put it simply, they don't look good in a pot, and so garden centers can't sell them.
Right. Okay. Well, I will go try to steal a little piece.
No. Let's call Liberating. If you'll get in touch with the garden club there, I guarantee you one of them's going to have this because it's a classic plant for mm-hmm. small towns like Port Gibson, mm-hmm. and there'll be somebody, a master
There's
gardener.
A beautiful one that I've seen. But
it will have little small circles at the base, and if you act right, she'll give you a piece of it. Okay, good luck on it. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing. We've been talking about gardening here on Mississippi Public Broadcasting. Java Chapman in there pulling me back from the fire every now and then. Kevin Farrell greeting the folks. And that little coffee machine's been percolating. It's between it and the antihistamines. I'm starting to feel pretty good. So anyway, I'm going to go up to down to Kiln for a talk at the library at 6 tonight. And Bay St. Louis for the library talk at 10 in the morning, and I'm going to be boodling on up and down the road, looking for ways to get out of my yard without having to wear a mask and do what I do best and encourage my neighbors to do, and that's to get dirty. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing. We'll be back same time, same place next week right here on MPB.